know, anybody that doesn't teach God's word is not sent by God. Jesus was very diligent in, people wonder why he spent so much time on 12 people. Because he wanted to make sure he was sending out quality here. These people were the foundation for the church. They had to speak the truth. He still only sends people who speak the truth. He ordains them. He reveals himself to them. He raises them up. He teaches them, like Jesus and like his disciples. He does that. Bible schools don't do that. The Lord does that. The Lord does that. He chooses that person. You can't choose him. You can't say, well, I'm going to be a pastor. I'm going to be a preacher. I'm going to go to Bible school. I'm going to graduate. And that certificate is my authority. No, authority comes from God. How shall they go except they be sent?
Yeah.
First, God prepares you to be a vessel of truth. Then he sends you. You don't want to go on your own because to impress others or to, like I say, lust for a position of authority in the church. Very dangerous thing to do. Very dangerous thing to do. To usurp the position of authority in the church. Remember the Korah, Dathan, and Abiram rebellion? That's what they did. They usurped the position of authority in the church. And God destroyed them. And it's the same today, folks. Nothing different. Nothing different. These people who have taken a position, who have come up another way, as Jesus said, who have not come through the door, these people are going to be reprobated just like they were in Jesus' day if they don't repent. They don't. You see, first of all, an immature person in a position of authority tends to try to protect that position. They tend to be more interested in the glory of man than the glory of God, so much so that, like these men we just read about in John chapter 12, they, even though they believed on Jesus, but because of the rulers, the religious leaders, and because they were afraid of being put out of fellowship with their particular denomination, they wouldn't confess it. You can give the truth to these people, but they've got too many fleshly reasons for not accepting it. Even though they might see it, they've got too many fleshly reasons for not accepting it. People in a position, in my experience, when I share truths with churches and groups like that, most of the time it's the pastors, it's the leadership that are the last to accept it. The first ones to accept it and see it are people who don't have any axe to grind, don't have any position to defend, don't have any denomination to defend. These are the people that can accept it. And why do you think Jesus went to those fishermen rather than the theologians? You know, it's the same today, folks. We got a church. The church is full of Pharisees and Sadducees. It's full of those people. They are at the head of Christianity. But God's about to change that. He's going to give his anointing, like he gave his, like the rod that budded for Aaron. The rod or the scepter was a sign of authority that God gave to his high priest. You see. And the lineage of Aaron had the proof because of the anointing. And that's what God's about to do. Same thing he did with Jesus. Jesus had the proof of God's authority. It was the anointing. And he said, if you don't believe me for my word's sake, believe me for my work's sake. See, the Father confirmed the word through Jesus with the signs, the wonders, the anointing that set people free. The excitement. You know what? When you get around truth, you feel that excitement. Now, I feel it when I get around truth, when I hear truth. When the Holy Spirit speaks to me something, it's just as exciting today as it was 30-something years ago. It's exciting. You feel it. You know it when you hear it, you know. It's exciting. And I know the old, dull, dead religion, too. It's easy to tell. Have a question there, Terry? Or a testimony, whatever.
While we were talking earlier, I guess you're talking about numerics. The question was, the Pan's Numeric Bible also contain the gematria in it? Could you even explain the gematria and what it is?
The gematria would be in any Greek or Hebrew word, actually, because what you're doing, since the Greeks and the Hebrews used their letters to write their numbers, any Greek or Hebrew writing has a gematria in it. If you're talking about the numeric pattern, now you're talking about something bigger, because now you're talking about relationships between words that put words in the right order and put the right words in the right order. That's what numerics is all about. The gematria, you could find that in any common Greek or Hebrew writing. But the numerics you can only find in God's writing. You know, it's only in the 66 books. It's not in the apocryphal books. There were also Greek and Hebrew, by the way, but there was no numeric pattern in them. Even though they had a gematria, you know, and if you added up the letters in a word, which were also numbers, you'd end up with a certain gematria for each word or phrase or whatever. But the relationship between the words makes patterns that proves the scriptures to be absolutely perfect. If you don't understand what I'm saying, read those two articles. You'll see how just exact the word is. It's an amazing miracle of God. And He fixed it where we can always go back to the Word of God. Listen, the Word of God is perfect. The Word of God is not some man's translation. Are you saying, David, what can we trust? Well, I'm saying you can trust God. I don't care what Bible you're using. If you're doing some research, God has hidden things from the wise and prudent, and He is revealing it unto babes. Some of the very people that translated Bibles are people you don't want to trust. I'm telling you the truth. They are not Spirit-filled people. They're not people you want to trust. So, the Word of God is powerful. Listen, folks, I started out reading the Living Bible because it was just so easy for me to understand. And I wasn't deep, so I wasn't really looking for exact wording, but more an understanding of what was being said there. I started out with a Living Bible. It's telling you the truth. And you know what? I don't think I missed God at all by starting out with the Living Bible. I was glad when the Lord moved me up to something more accurate, and I was glad when He moved me up to something more accurate after that. But I wasn't sorry that I did that. There are people today that say, David, everybody says King James is the only real Bible, but when I read it, I just get confused. I really can't understand it. I said, well, it is kind of hard for you to read, but not being a 16th century Englishman, you know, it is a little hard for you to understand, you know. I said, why don't you get a Bible in your own language? God's big enough to write a Bible in your own language. Why would He give 16th century English to Americans? You know? And so, they may start out on an easy reader, and if they want accuracy after that, that's fine after they get a little understanding. So there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that, folks. I mean, you give children's Bibles to children's. Let me tell you something. A lot of people don't like the NIV. I don't either. I don't like the NIV. I don't like paraphrasing. You know, I like a Bible. I want a translation, word-to-word translation. I don't like the NIV. But the NIV made an excellent children's Bible. It was an excellent. I mean, I gave one to all of my children many years ago. They all had this little red NIV children's Bible. It wasn't the same as the NIV, but it was in really easy-to-read English. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was great. I sat and read it with them, you know. I knew when they grew up. You know, when I was a child, I thought I was a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things, right? Well, you don't want to give children something that's just too hard for them to chew, because they'll put it down and they won't pick it back up again. There's a lot of people out there that were at one time thought they would want to read the Bible, but somebody gave them one they couldn't handle, so they put it down, right? So we have to be wise, you know. We have to be wise. Now, what was the question again, Terry?
Just about gematria.
The gematria, yeah.
I was going to share vision that the Lord gave me. And I don't know if it'll make any sense to a lot of people, but in the vision He gave me, it made perfect sense to me. And what I saw was a graph. instead of just having an X and a Y coordinate or axis, two dimension, it had a Z axis on it, which made it three dimensions. And the Lord showed me that the X and the Y were the length and the breadth or width of the scope of the Bible, which was just the word, and the depth was what man has been allowed to understand. Then he put a multiplier on each one of those axes for time to make it fourth dimension. And when you put time, eternal past and eternal future, now you got into God's realm. And he knows, I mean, you got time eternal past, time eternal future, and time eternal present. It was weird to see it, and I understood it in the vision. Now it's kind of hard to understand, but at the time I understood it. Yeah. Exactly, in that God knows everything about everything about everything.
Yeah.
At any given point in time.
Yeah.
And he knows where you're at, he knows what you need, and he can lead you to the right Bible. I started out with a New Revised Standard Version, which is a revision on top of a revision on top of a revision of the American Standard Bible, and it's so far off that it doesn't translate well. However, it's what I needed at the time, and I was able to understand it, and I saw God plain as day in this translation.
Amen. You know, you have to get the letter right before you can get the spirit right. You know that? Bible says pretty plainly in Revelation 2 and 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh, to him will I give of the hidden manna. And I will give him a white stone, and upon the stone a new name written, which no one knoweth but he that receiveth it. The hidden manna. If you get the letter wrong, how are you going to get the Spirit right? Now the letter is a parable of the Spirit revelation that's hidden beneath it. So the devil fights that people don't even get the letter right. I'm talking about what's written in the black and white. Beneath that, there is a parable that's hidden, you know, that God wants to show you. But you have to overcome to get that far. You have to overcome. He that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna. You have to overcome. You have to love truth. You have to get the letter right. You got to put the puzzle together right. You ever seen children with the little block with the round and the square, and then and they take their hammer and they drive the round and the square, and you know, well, you know, it ain't gonna work. How are you gonna get a revelation out of that? You know, that's exactly what people think. They want it quick and easy. You know, well, it doesn't come that way. It is line upon line here, a little and there, a little, and it's not necessarily quick and easy. And we have to overcome in what the Lord gives us. We have to. Another thing you have to do, when God shows it to you, walk in it. Faith without works is dead. When he shows it to you, you can walk in it when he shows it to you. Don't say, well, I got to be grown up before I can do this or that, you know. No. If he shows it to you, walk in it. Because if you don't use it, you lose it. And that happens to a lot of people. They just set it on the side, and they lose it, and it's gone. I mean, God gives authority even to his little children. Matter of fact, somebody was asking me, I don't know if any of y'all ever heard that radio program I was on the other night. They were talking about the giants. You know what the giants were in their thinking, of course, was angels coming down and mating with men, and that's where the giants came from, which is totally false. If you ever want to go to my site and read the Sons of God article on the Sons of God, read it. Because it's totally false. It's really ludicrous. First of all, angels can't bring forth men, and men can't bring forth angels. The Bible says that which is born of spirit is spirit, and that which is born of flesh is flesh. Spirit can only bring forth spirit, and flesh can only bring forth flesh. And, by the way, everybody on the face of the earth came from Adam and Eve. That's what the Bible says. Eve was the mother of all living. And he made of one all men to dwell upon the face of the earth. And that was Adam. That don't leave any room for angels, folks. Now, demons, which are fallen angels, can inhabit men who can have children. But they got to have a body to do that, folks. Okay. So, it's really ridiculous. So, people say, well, as it was in the days of Noah, there must be giants today. The giants were a perversion between the sons of the devil and the sons of God. I mean, God forbid the sons of God to cross with the daughters of men. He forbade that. Even all through Israel's history, they were forbidden to cross with the pagans. Cain, the Bible says, was of the evil one. And Adam was the son of God. And think about this now. When Adam had Abel, Abel was killed. Then God said that he gave Seth to replace Abel. Since when does God give someone to replace someone else? This is a third individual. This is an individual. They're born to be a child for themselves. Why does he replace Abel? Because Seth was the born-again man. Seth was the born-again man. And when Seth was born, the Bible says, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. You know why? Because now there was more than one son of God. Adam was called the son of God. But it wasn't until Seth was born that men... What about Cain and all those descendants that were mentioned before Seth was born? Not a one of them was mentioned to call upon the name of the Lord. Not one of them. Until Seth was born. In fact, the Bible says that Cain was of the evil one. You see, God did not want, even in the New Testament, it is forbidden for Christians to marry non-Christians. Now, when there was interbreeding between the sons of God, and by the way, that was before it was against the law. Without a law, there is no sin. When there was interbreeding in the sons of God and in the sons of the evil, there's degeneration. Naturally speaking, there's degeneration. And when down the road you cross, you get a hybrid. And that's where the giants came from. It's the hybrid. Read the article. I give you a lot of proof for this, okay? And including who the real sons of God are. How that they... People point out that Satan came among the sons of God. Well, read Zechariah chapter 4. It happened there that he came among the sons of God. And the sons of God there were God's sons on earth, not angels. He came to accuse Joshua the high priest because Joshua had on these filthy clothes and a filthy garment and a filthy hat. And God stood up for Joshua. You know what? Who Joshua was? You say, Jesus? Jesus had filthy garment? No. No, the body of Christ. That's what he's talking about. And Satan came there to accuse the sons of God. That's who Joshua represented as the body of Christ. And they were dirty. But God stood up for them. You see? Because he was sanctifying them. So, you know, Satan accuses us. We always appear before the face of our Father, but the devil comes there to accuse us, like he did Job. They sneak in there like that. The demons do. Where was I? I was going somewhere else with this. Wait, let me get there now.
Okay, because I was going to say, you raise some questions with that.
Okay. Okay, here. When you cross the sons of God, the daughters of men,
you're where the giants came from.
When they came out of, when the Israelites were taken out of Egypt, there was a mixed multitude that came out with them, which meant half Egyptian and half Israelite. Well, that's what you've got. You've got a crossing between the sons of God and the daughters of men. Okay? And that's illegal. It was illegal for Israel. They were forbidden to do that, you see. And now, who are the giants now? If as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the days of the coming of the Son. Who are the giants now, folks? Who are the big people in the earth today? Who are the big people among God's people today that are mixed multitude, that are half of the world and half of the kingdom? Do you know anybody like that that's known to be big in the kingdom of God? You know, they say, well, people have seen these giants in the earth today and they disappear and so on. You know what? Let me tell you something. Those giants that were in Genesis, they didn't disappear. They were physical, living beings. They weren't spirits. If you see a giant that comes and disappears, guess what? That's a demon spirit deceiving people into this stupid doctrine. That's what it is. It's demons deceiving people into this stupid doctrine. You say, did they ever find these great... Yeah, sure, they're giants. The Bible's very plain. They were giants. These were big people. Okay? No doubt about it. You know, not denying that at all. But they were flesh and blood. And spirits don't bring forth flesh and blood. And I tell you, there's some really big people in the earth today that are half of the kingdom and half of the world. And you know who I'm talking about.
False prophets.
Yeah. And they were in Jesus' day, too. They were in Jesus' day. We have them today. So they're famous. You know what? Let me tell you something. If you're famous, either in Christianity or in the world, then you're not of the Father. You may be a half-breed, but you're not of the Father. Jesus said, if they hated me, they will hate you too. That means the closer you get to Christ-likeness, to being purely the spiritual man, the less the world and the less the church is going to like you. There's some really big, really famous people out there. And you know what? Before it's all over, you're going to watch them all fall.
Constantine was a giant.
Yeah. People that believe in the kingdom but live in the world. That's who you got. They're giants in the world today. Why are they so big? Why do people accept them as famous today and revere them? And so on. Why is that so? It's because they're worldly.
Unfortunately, Bush is a giant.
Yeah, right. There's some very famous giants out there. You have a question, Terry?
Yeah, we have several. Does that mean the book of Enoch that is mentioned in the New Testament, Jude, I think, is wrong concerning angels cohabiting with man?
Let me say this. Well, first of all, it doesn't say that they cohabited with man, but let me point out something to you about the book of Enoch. The book of Enoch is not in the Bible.
Thanks, I kept searching for it.
Okay. Now, where is that? There are some things that Enoch said that are in the Bible. You know, I've got a book that I wrote, and some of the things in there were written by the Holy Spirit. But that don't mean that the book deserves to be in the Bible, right? And the book of Enoch is that way, folks. There are a lot of apocryphal books out there that don't have a numeric pattern. Listen to me. They don't have a numeric pattern. The numeric pattern has not been found in those books. Because a book is mentioned in the Bible does not mean it's a totally inspired word. And the book of Enoch is not totally inspired, or it would have a perfect numeric pattern going through it. There are a lot of people trying to convince me today that this book or that book that's not in the 66 books should be accepted as totally inspired, that it's right in all things. I don't believe it. You know, the pattern's not there, and I just don't believe it. Did Enoch say certain? Yes, he did. And could he have been quoted? Yes. And they can't even prove that he wrote that book. Now, Enoch was obviously a prophet. And he spoke good things. Let me read you a verse here. Esther chapter 10. Verse 2. Now all the acts of his power and his might, and the full account of the greatness of Mordecai, whereunto the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? Now, is he saying they're totally inspired because he mentions a book? Obviously not. These were pagan kings. They're not the Word of God. They're apocryphal books, including the book of Enoch. We only have, there has only been a numeric pattern found in the 66 books. None of the apocryphal. Look, I've read the apocryphal books. In some places, I like them. One of my favorite is The Shepherd of Hermas, and it has a certain level of inspiration in it. There's no doubt in my mind about it. But it's like if you came to me and you shared a prophecy with me, or you shared a dream with me that you think came from God, and I agree with you it came from God, what level of inspiration is in it? That's the point. The level of inspiration that's in the Bible is perfection. It's written by Almighty God. It's the only thing we have like that. The book of Enoch doesn't have it. Like I said, I've read all the apocryphal books. And they're in some places they're good, in some places they missed it. You know, Paul talked about the Jewish fables. Do you understand that the Jews were just like the Christians? I don't know why some people think that they were so inspired that everything that they wrote was right. They wrote a lot of silly stuff. Paul called it Jewish fables. Christians are full of fables too. They've followed in the steps of the Jews. There's only one way we can have the truth, and that is to depend totally upon the Word of God without adding to it, without taking from it. Now, I'm going to tell you, a lot of the apocryphal books have little additions and subtractions to the written Word. You can't trust them. Yeah, I know what the book says about Enoch. You know, about 10,000 of his holy ones. You know, Jude spoke about him in Jude 14. And to these also Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came with 10,000 of his holy ones. This was a prophecy. And it was in one of the books of Enoch. Did you know there's several books of Enoch, by the way? It was in one of the books of Enoch. Now, that particular verse right there, it has a numeric pattern in it. Because it was deemed by God to be put in the Bible. But notice, the book of Enoch's not in the Bible. Why didn't God put it in the Bible? I'll tell you why. It's a different level of inspiration. And in some cases, it's just wrong. It's just wrong. There are people looking for a shortcut to hidden knowledge. Well, look, folks, you can search all of your life in the Word of God, in the 66 books, which, by the way, have a circular pattern in them. They're all connected. All of the books of the Bible are connected by the numeric pattern. And let me tell you this. Even the order of the books has a pattern. If you take the books and you get them out of order, like we have in the English Bible, for instance, the New Testament. Some of you have gotten the numeric English New Testament. You notice the order of the books is different. You know why the order of the books is different? Because there's a numeric pattern that ties book to book. If you get it out of order, you break the pattern. So, the correct order of the books is in the numeric Greek, numeric English and numeric Greek New Testament. That's the correct order of the books. Our Bible's off. Our English Bible is off. Does that make a big... No, it's not a big thing. But I can tell you there's no book of Enoch in there. They have never found, so far, another book that has that perfect numeric pattern. Even though the book of Enoch was written in Hebrew. Now, don't you think, if it was on the level of inspiration of the Scriptures, that it would have a numeric pattern in it? Well, of course. It was written in the same language. So, you know, there's only one thing we can trust. In fact, we are warned that if you add to or take away from anything that's written in this book, he'll take your name out of the tree of life and he'll add the curses of this book on you. That's a pretty stern warning. But there, I'm running into a lot of people that are doing this. Picking up traditions from Jewish fables, putting a lot of weight on these things. It can't be done. It just cannot be done. We don't have any proof for that, you see. It shouldn't be done. A strong delusion is coming upon this world concerning aliens. Giants. You know, because people have this false doctrine about the giants, you can't have a false doctrine that doesn't bring ultimate deception to you. You see? So while people are waiting for the Antichrist to be some alien, I mean, I've heard the doctrine, I've read it out there. Yeah, I've listened to what people have said, and they're totally convinced of it too. They're being deluded and not seeing the real Antichrist that's already here. And yeah, he is an alien. There's no doubt about it.
He's a foreign body.
He's a foreign body. But not the kind they're thinking of, you know.
He's a demon alien.
And if you see a giant, rebuke him in Jesus' name and see if he disappears, okay?
We had a question about aliens being a demon or a demonic.
Yeah, definitely.
Doctrine. And then we also had a comment about all this, about the apocryphal books, but David in Washington, that was on last time.
Mm-hmm.
He's patiently had his hand up for a while.
Oh,
but the comment was just that they were having a problem with, you know, saying that the apocryphal books weren't on the same level.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and that they attended a church where the pastor was a big name in the church, and you know, that believes that God gives favor when it's part of his plan, and that the books were part of his plan to be in there. And,
nope.
You know, it's interesting, if you ever read about the Council of Nicaea 312 AD, and find out who was making these decisions, knowing that these people weren't being led by their own mind to get these books in the Bible.
God,
no way.
Yeah. See, they didn't know anything about numerics, folks.
Right.
But they rejected the apocryphal books, and these were not deep people in the Lord. The Lord just moved them to reject those books because now we know for a fact they do not belong in the Bible. There is no numeric pattern in them. They do not belong in the Bible. And don't put any weight of doctrine behind them because there is a lot of silly stuff in them. I mean, and I'm telling you, I've read them. Some of them I really enjoyed reading, but I don't give them the weight that I give the Scripture. And like I said, if you come to me and you share a dream or a revelation, I will accept it. And I will accept some level of inspiration to it, you know. But I won't give it the level of inspiration in my heart that the Bible has. And neither would I do it with the apocryphal books. Man touched them. Believe me, man touched them deeply.
I need to recant what I said. I thought that person was talking about the apocryphal books. It must have been about something else you were saying.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I get so much coming at me.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep up with some of it.
Well, you know what Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, and you know what John said in Revelation 22. Be careful. Do not add to God's Word. We know that there are 66 books. They do have a numeric pattern. They do fit together. But we haven't found another book. As a matter of fact, the pattern is complete. It is a circular pattern. Now, I remember Ivan Panin in one of his books. I've got a lot of his books. He proved that there is only 66 books with the numeric pattern. I don't remember that. It's been a long time since I studied that. But it was a circular pattern that joined end to end. And basically, what he proved was there ain't no more books to the Bible, folks. I'd have to go back and look at it again when I got time.
There's the comment you were making about people in the church who are well known and favored are a mix of sons of God and daughters of men. Again, I wasn't
Jones. Really. Wasn't accepting them.
Well, I didn't hear what you were saying, so I'm relaying the message.
Well, Cain was a carnal man. And let's just say Seth was a spiritual man. They called upon the Lord. Israel was never to join with the Egyptians, for instance. They were of the world. They were not of the kingdom. And today, we've got people joining. We've got people in the church, leading the church, that are Egyptians, folks. Or they're a mixed multitude, you know, people like that. And they're very big. You cannot get big without having a mixture of the world. In the church today, you cannot be big, well-known, make a lot of money, so on and so forth, without being a mixture. Because if you have nothing but truth, you'll be as rejected as Jesus was to the early church. You understand who the church was in Jesus' day? That was Judaism there, folks. That was the people of God. The overwhelming majority of them rejected him. What would they do today? What would the church do today? What do they do today if someone comes in the name of the Lord? They reject him. Their leaders reject him. So, the people that, in fact, let me tell you what happened to me years ago. The Lord spoke to me loud and clear. I said, Lord, why don't you put some people on the TV that can teach the truth and will teach the truth? He said, nobody will hear it. And then he told me later, he said, and if I put you on there now, you'd have to be a false prophet. I can't remember exactly the words that he gave me, but he said, if you were among them now, or on there now, you'd be a false prophet. And that's amazing, folks. The only people that can actually stand up, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and command the multitudes to submit to them, whether they have the truth or not, that's the leadership of Christianity right now. These people are in darkness. They are ignorant. They don't love truth. It's a sad, sad situation. History repeats, you see. History repeats. We still have the same... The man-child is about to start his ministry very soon. The man-child is Christ manifested in a body of believers in our day. About to begin the cycle again. You see, we go through cycles, you see. Moses was a cycle, and the children of Israel, and Jesus was a cycle, and now the man-child is that cycle beginning again. God's raising up a first fruits again. What is going to happen? The exact same thing. The first fruits is going to be faced and opposed by the status quo, by the leaders of Christianity, just like Jesus was opposed by the leaders of God's people. Paul said, we are not as the many, corrupting. The many? What was he talking about? The many. The many leaders of God's people, corrupting the word of righteousness. We are not as the many. Paul was outnumbered. The people who share the truth, love the truth, walk in the truth, they're always going to be outnumbered. The wicked are always going to outnumber. The people who are recognized authority over God's people are going to outnumber them. So yeah, they're big. They're giants. Accepted by many. Revered by many. Worshipped by many. But they're going to be conquered just like they were. You see, what happened in those days was a parable. Everything in the Old Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, the word example there is type and shadow. Everything that happened unto God's people back there was for a type and a shadow in the New Testament. The spiritual man and the carnal man over there, the Cains and the Seths over there, are translated to something different today because now we're seeing the spiritual revelation of that parable. We still got giants and they're still half-breeds. Apart from the kingdom, and part from the world. That's the only way they got to be giants, is to be part from the kingdom and part from the world. But we're supposed to be like God's command to the sons of God in Adam's day. In the Jews' day, they were not to intermix with the daughters of the heathens. You know?
What I'm saying is they're still looking at it in the literal in the Old Testament,
yes.
And not bringing it into the spiritual and the new. It's
yeah. So they're expecting some physical giants to show up.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here looking at...
The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Okay. While they're looking for those giants, they may get deceived, because the devil is... He'll, if you got a false doctrine, he'll use it on you.
And the person that asked the question earlier left the room because... They wanted a straightforward answer, saying, in other words, are you saying that people like Bishop T.D. Jakes, who is my pastor, is not a real Christian? Because he's a real big in the church and da da da. Never heard of.
Yeah, be careful if you're one of our band.
I don't know much about him. I know a few things about him, but I'm not gonna worry about him.
So here's another one. So, is David saying someone like Pat Robertson is not a Christian, or is he a Christian but doing a lot of things in error?
What we just talked about is this verse here, John 8:31. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciple indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Yeah.
Without the truth, you're not free.
Right.
You can listen to all the pastors you want and not have truth, but you can read God's word and you can be led of the Spirit of God and you can come to truth.
Isn't there a scripture that says that those that the world esteems as great that, are the least in the kingdom or something like that, or the church? God's
that is so true. That is so true. Nope, I'm not worried about these people. They'll all be proven to be who they are, either by bearing fruit, by repenting, by entering into the kingdom. God's used people in various bits and pieces of the kingdom, but God's about to raise up a first fruits company that's neither famous. You know, the leaders of God's people said, where does this man get this wisdom? Not having learned, meaning he didn't go to their Bible schools. Where does he get it? He got it from fellowship with God. While everybody else was building a kingdom, a worldly kingdom, that they call the kingdom of God, he got it by fellowshipping with God. And Jesus was very much unknown until he started manifesting the signs and the wonders and the miracles and the wisdom that God had been hiding in him for 30 years. While the Pharisees and Sadducees had become men of renown. What did they call those giants? Men of renown. That's what they called them, by the way, in the Old Testament. So while the men of renown, you know, what God's going to do in these days is there going to be these people that have been passed over, ignored, hidden by God. He's going to reveal them. And every once in a while, among the Pharisees and Sadducees, you come across an honest soul like Nicodemus.
That's just what I'm looking for. Right. Let's go. Yeah, there. Yeah, that was a giant that recognized truth when he heard truth.
Yeah,
and he had enough in him to where at least he wanted to find out about this, and he went in the dark of night to speak with Jesus.
I remember somebody telling me who was in on the ground situation with just exactly one of the people that was mentioned here. I'm not going to say which one. To bring that man to this town to share a revelation. And the man told him he couldn't come unless they could guarantee him a certain amount of money. He couldn't come. Yeah, that is sick. That reveals to me something about this person. That they're really not who they pretend to be. Yeah. First of all, if the Lord sends you, it's not how much money you got to have. It's does the Lord send you? Do you follow the Lord? He said, "Get you no gold or silver in your purses." This man, that is a giant, by the way. He has to have a certain amount of money, or he won't come to your town and talk to you. For goodness' sake, isn't that sick? Yeah, I think that all this is going to be found out. Before the end, the Lord's going to make sure it's found out. There's nothing hidden that won't be revealed, folks. Nothing hidden that won't be revealed. It's all going to be seen in the light. Some people can walk in the light because they don't have anything to hide. But others, they have to hide. They can't be a giant without hiding.
Saul was a giant until he came to Christ when in the road to Damascus.
Yeah. Exactly. He was a man of renown, wasn't he? And what does he say there in James? You know, James chapter 1. Let me see what that is. It says something. It's kind of similar to that.
He renounced everything that he had before he knew Christ. Paul did.
Let the brother of low degree glory in his high estate. and the rich in that he is made low. Low. That's not giants anymore, is it? In the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. Isn't that interesting? But the brother of low degree, or humble brother, and the word high estate meaning exaltation in the numeric. Humble of low degree means humble. High estate means exalted estate. Who's exalted in this world? Who's the brother of low degree? The person that's not looked upon as a giant. Yeah. No, the Lord said, every mountain shall be made low and every valley shall be exalted. Who do you think he's talking about? Mountains and valleys? I don't think so. I think if we don't humble ourselves, God will humble us.
Well, you know, a couple of nights ago, we were talking about a particular article that just came out that was in the New York Times. And it was on this fellow with the Trinity Broadcasting Network. What we spoke of was that this is the largest exposure of Christianity globally on the face of the earth today with this network. And this guy, Paul Crouch, whatever his name was, that evidently he had some problems that he was dealing with, and he's fallen. Well, this is no different than when somebody speaks of any of these pastors or ministers. If you lift this man up to a point of esteem, if he falls, you're going to be very surprised. But what the Word is telling you is that don't lift these people up to this level of esteem. Put your trust not in man, but in God's Word, because, my gosh, just as this fellow that left this classroom a little while ago, he could have just as been easily 4 months ago defending this man.
Yeah.
I mean, who would have expected this man would be caught in homosexuality? You know?
Verse James 4 and 6, it says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore the Scripture saith, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Be subject, therefore, unto God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, every mountain shall be made low, and every valley shall be exalted. God's going to exalt the brother of low degree. And he's going to bring down the kingdoms of men. You know, mountains in the Bible are kingdoms. The seven mountains are kingdoms of this world. God's going to bring them all down. Christianity too, especially Christianity. Why do so many of these giants get caught in some kind of crazy debauchery that you'd never even think a Christian would ever think about? Why does this happen? Is it like the Korah, Dathans, and Abirams, you know, who are swallowed up by the earth? That's what the Lord showed me about them. When they sinned, when they puffed themselves up, when they took a position that wasn't given them by God, when they, you know, Dathan and Abiram were not Levites. They had no right to the priesthood. And yet they took that position. And what happened? God's judgment upon them was that the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them alive. And, the Bible says, you know, the earth, what is the earth? The earth is where your flesh came from, right? The Lord showed me that these people are being swallowed up by their own flesh. The earth is swallowing alive. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians, she that giveth herself to pleasure is dead while she lives. They're swallowed up by death while they're alive. They're swallowed up by their flesh, given into the lusts of the flesh. So many of them are being caught time after time after time in some kind of lust of the flesh. How could that happen? If they were a mature elder in the Lord, how could that happen? You know, it's not the elders that are ruling Israel. And that's, the Bible says children rule over them. Isaiah chapter 3. I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. Why would God do that? Because they don't respect what is mature. You know, Jesus said, if you don't become as a child, you're not entering the kingdom. What's the opposite of a child? A giant. Who's mature in the kingdom? Who's the most mature? A person who is as a child is the most mature. He said, of such is the kingdom of God. A person that's just totally humble to God. They don't know which way they're going to go. They're led of their father. They're ruled over by their father. But he says here, I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one of another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the old man, and the base against the honorable. You understand? The child is behaving himself proudly against the old man. I'm talking about a child in the ways of the kingdom. Oh, they're big in the ways of the world, but a child in the ways of the kingdom, ignorant of the ways of God. And he says down in verse 12, for my people, children, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, they that lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. You had something, Kurt?
I was just thinking about the great revival that was just here in Pensacola a few years ago, and how much, after it was over with, the aftermath of it, and all the things we discovered. We had a printout in the newspaper here. The newspaper printed out 7 days in a row the things that went on that they saw.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just an example of the days we're living in, you know.
Yeah. An elder has to be above reproach with the world. He can't be a man who's in the sins of the world and caught by the world and lost a reputation. And here he's supposed to be representing the kingdom, but he's been caught in all kinds of debauchery, you know. But children are ruling the people of God. You know, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, these people who were purported to be the leaders of the kingdom. What did God say to Nicodemus? You're a ruler in Israel and you don't know this? You know, the leaders of Christianity in America, I shared a vision that I had of them one time. How that the Lord, I don't want to go all the way through the whole vision, but part of the vision was that I appeared in a place, in a minister's conference, and all the famous preachers in America were there. And one of the most famous walked over to me and handed me a roll of papers in his hand. He put it in my hand, and when they hit my hand, the Lord spoke to me. He said, this is his propaganda about what he has accomplished. You know, you can build a great big kingdom, you know. But Jesus was absolutely, perfectly successful. What Jesus did was total success, and yet he didn't build a big kingdom like that. In his day, a physical kingdom in his day. Wasn't even interested in it. I mean, he was laying a foundation for Christianity, a pure, perfect word foundation for Christianity. And yet today, if you can't fill a building with a lot of people, well, they don't think you're successful. But Jesus said, I've accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And multitudes left his ministry in John chapter 6. Just one sermon drove them out. Multitudes left him. And he even turned to his disciples and said, are you going too? But they had discernment. They had understanding. But they were in the minority. Said, to whom else can we go, Lord? You have the words of life. Today, somebody who walks in the Spirit would drive multitudes of people away that are called the people of God. It's the same as it was in Jesus' day. Because the people don't have eyes to see and ears to hear. There's a great falling away coming. That's what the Scripture says. Yeah, Terry? You have something?
Like I said, David was.
Oh, really? I'm sorry, David. You have something to show? I thought you had read something for David.
No. He's had his hand up.
Okay, hey, David. God bless you, bro.
He had it up ever since you asked. If, are there any questions?
Oh, okay.
So,
please.
Yeah.
So, can you come in, David?
Yeah.
Share with us.
He's ready.
Praise the Lord, Brother David. Yeah, it's just a real blessing to hear the truth of what God is really doing in the earth and that hidden manna, which is that which our brother Paul, the Apostle Paul, prayed that in Ephesians chapter 1, that God would give unto us that spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, that we would truly know who the Lord is in spirit and in truth. And I praise God for that. And just so many things that you were talking about that were just my spirit rejoices because it's being out here alone for so long. It's sometimes I feel like maybe like Dave in the cave of Adullam. You're just kind of like, where are you, Lord? Just crying out to Him. But the word of the Lord has told us that we know all that in Psalms 2 that these giants. These great men of the earth in Revelation 18:23, who by their sorceries deceive all nations, and Psalms 2, the kings of the earth can't counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed ones. And we know what men highly esteem is an abomination to the Lord. And what the Holy Spirit has taught me over the years is that, a lot of these individuals like Pat Robinson and Billy Graham, who's been the personal confidant to every New World Order president that we've had for I don't know how many decades, but, basically what the Lord was showing me was, the Holy Spirit was that, He is received by all these men and praised by even the secular news media, and it's like, makes Jesus a liar, and we know that Jesus is not a liar. And, unfortunately, many of God's true servants in this hour in Revelations, just below that hidden manna in Revelations chapter 2, which, by the way, the Lord says, unless you repent of the doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, and sadly to say, that man who you said that wouldn't come unless he got a certain amount of money, sadly to say, that's the doctrine of Balaam, and freely you have received, freely you will get out of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart, that people might receive the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the religious system today, Christianity is totally captured by the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, the separation of God's one people into two classes, clergy and laity. And there's a promise from the Lord that if we would repent, which has totally captured the city of religion, that we would repent of those doctrines, that the Lord would give us that divine revelation, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. So the Lord has set the stage, and right now, I truly believe that God is, a lot of these individuals that are out there, it's like a test, who's watching, who's praying, who's listening to only the voice of the Lord, or unfortunately so many in Christendom are running to this one and running to that one, and unfortunately they're being seduced by Jezebel. These false teachers are seducing them, and they're getting up from the table of the Lord, and they're partaking of things that are truly not wrought in God. And the Lord has made it very clear, I feel so strongly, in the book of Ezekiel 43, verse 8, is what the Lord is about to do in the earth with His true sons. In Ezekiel 43, verse 8, talks about that false threshold, that false post, the many who come in the name of the Lord and say they're His anointed ones, but they deceive the great multitudes, and they've committed many abominations in the name of the Lord. And we know that the Lord, if you read on in verse 10, that the Lord is going to reestablish, and He's going to make it full, bring everything into the light, and everything is going to be manifested, that judgment that He has promised, that would start first in the house of God, will come forth. And who will judge God's house? Well, it will be the Lord in spirit and in truth through those that he has called and chosen. Who is worthy to judge his house? It says, those who keep my ways, those who walk in my ways and keep my charge. And so the Lord knows who they are and where they're at, and that hour is soon approaching. And the Lord's going to bring back that divine pattern, that reestablish back in the earth. And anyway, I just praise the Lord, and I love all you guys, and Lord bless you.
Okay, thank you, David. Look in Luke chapter 6.